Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. We must continue moving forward in our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and particularly in this subject of biblical evangelism, which is a very important subject and which Paul gets into as sort of an excursion from his main subject, which is to address the problem of divisions in the church. But in addressing that, he makes the statement that God called him to preach the gospel, not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not that he's saying that he had no mandate to baptize. He did. Not that he's saying that baptism is no longer in the will of God for God's people. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying that I left the baptism to others deliberately so that people would not attach themselves to me in a carnal way. I was baptized by the Apostle Paul. But you see, people do this all the time. People think that their connection with some great personality rubs off on them and makes them more important. I have personally met so-and-so. I bet you've never met him, never talked to him personally. When I was having a conversation the other day with Dr. So-and-so, you know, that kind of conversation that people get into, as if that has any substance to it, as if that has any gives them any greater honor or authority or influence, but somehow people tend to think that it does. You get into a church debate, and somebody will say, well, now listen here, I personally knew the founder of this church, and hardly anybody else knows him, so you can't understand what's at stake here. You can't understand what I understand about how things ought to be, how they were intended to be in the beginning and so forth. Well, obviously something like that can be informative, but be careful that it doesn't become divisive. I am of the founder. Well, I like the second pastor better. Well, I happen to like the third one better. And on and on and on it goes. Stop! 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 That's that same old problem. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas. No, we better all be of Christ, and we better all be of the Bible, and we better all be of basically one mind. Cut it out. But we move on in this question of evangelism on this Tuesday, April 27, as you have joined us by the wisdom of God, who has brought you into the orbit of the Beacon Broadcast today, and also because some of you have supported us financially, which is also part of the process of God's working to make this broadcast available. Well, there are two parts to evangelism. There's man's part and God's part. Man's part is so simple. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Period. That's it. Preach it publicly. Talk about it privately. Declare the gospel. Explain it. Make it plain. That's it. That's it. That's it. Well, you've got to do something else. You preach the gospel, and then there has to be something else to make it effective. No, just preach the gospel, and be careful. Be careful. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. But then the divine side. Oh, there's a lot involved there, and we've already covered a good bit of it. We have talked about how important it is to understand the reason for differing results, why this person believes and this person doesn't. People are very often misled about that. And we need to understand that the the simplicity of the gospel, it sounds like it's not powerful enough just by itself, just the simple gospel and nothing else. But in fact, it's actually designed to be simple in order to expose the folly of human wisdom. People who think themselves wise in the ways of this world are not going to be impressed by the gospel. That's by God's design. And here we are trying to change it, to alter it, to do something to make it more impressive to people like this when God says, I designed it so that it would not be impressive to people like this. Right? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And he goes on in verse 21 to say, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. Right? People don't come to know God through human wisdom. Having a college degree isn't going to make you any more likely to come to know God. Having a doctor's degree isn't going to make you any more likely to come to know God. In fact, as this is suggesting to us, it probably makes it less likely. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For, he goes on here to say, the Jews request a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The gospel, Paul is telling us in this section, does not cater to human desires. The Jews seek signs. Signs are miracles. And, of course, many miracles were performed by Christ and the apostles, but this is clearly telling us that miracles are not a ground or an inducement for greater faith in the gospel. That's what it's saying. The Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Well, if giving the Jews the sign that they request would make them more likely to receive the gospel, then God would give them more signs. But it doesn't work that way. The Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. They're looking for rational evidence. They will not accept what they do not fully understand. If you can explain this to me, if you can explain that to me, if you can help me to understand this this aspect of biblical doctrine that doesn't make sense to me, if you can just explain all that to me, then maybe I will consider believing. No, not really. The Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but what do? We just keep preaching Christ crucified, knowing that it will be to the Jews a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, foolishness, but to those who are called, back to these different categories again. Before, it was the category of those who are perishing, one category, and those who are being saved by the power of God, another category. Here, the category is Jews and Greeks who are in the normal stream of things on the one hand, and then those who are called. Verse 24, to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, the gospel is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So you've got two categories, those who are not called and those who are called. Now that, of course, gets us digging a little bit deeper. When the gospel is preached, there's a sense in which there's a general call that goes out to all who hear it. This is the gospel. All men are sinners. That includes you. The wages of sin is death. That means you're headed for spiritual death after physical death. You're headed for judgment. You're headed for destruction. But God gave his son that those who trust in him will have eternal life. He lived a life of righteousness, which you did not live. He died upon the cross to pay the penalty for the sins of those who trust in him. He rose bodily from the dead. Oh, that sounds like foolishness to me. Well, that's the truth. That's the gospel. And who's going to believe it? Not the ones who are not called, whether they're like the Jews who are looking to something sensational, miracles and other sensational things to convince them of the gospel, looking for a sign, looking to hear something and so forth. Or if they are more like the Greeks, insisting on rational evidence and will not accept what they do not fully understand. If you are like that, in either of those different responses, but in a sense, they're both the same response, which is an unbelieving response, and it's because you are in the category of those who are not called, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ becomes the power of God. Christ becomes the wisdom of God. Christ becomes the way of salvation that convinces you that you need him and you believe in him. And this is because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So though some are going to seek signs and yet will never be persuaded by signs alone, remember the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man being in hell lifted up his eyes in torments and said, Father Abraham, send somebody to my brothers that they don't come to this place. And he said, let them hear the scriptures. Let them hear Moses and the prophets. And he said, oh, no, that won't do it. But if one should rise from the dead, that will convince them. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? That kind of a miracle will persuade them. That'll get their attention. That'll cause them to believe. And what was the answer? If they won't believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe though one should rise from the dead. Now that's what Jesus said. Do you believe him? If they will not receive the scriptures, they will not believe even if somebody rises from the dead. Miracles are no ground for faith, nor is rational evidence. You can explain and offer this evidence and that evidence, this proof, that proof, this apologetic and that apologetic. And I'm not saying there's no place for this at all, but I think it's more to strengthen the faith of God's people, because this tells us very plainly that doesn't save anybody. That doesn't convince anybody to believe. What does? The preaching of the simple gospel. The Jews seek signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we just keep preaching Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, it is powerful. The gospel ministers life-changing power to the called. The gospel is precious to those who are called. And they come to understand the infinite greatness of God, infinitely wiser than the wisest of men, infinitely stronger than the strongest of men. We're talking about biblical evangelism. How do we evangelize successfully? By preaching the gospel. What else do we have to do to help the gospel? Nothing! If the gospel won't do it, nothing will do it. But the gospel will do it when it is proclaimed to those who are called. And that's the answer. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.